Hello and welcome to NWR Newscast, episode 13 for March 10th, 2010. My name is Andy Gergen, and I will be your host this week. With me is the usual newscast crew of Neil Ronahan.
Hey, everybody.
What's up, Neil? And also with us, of course, is Zach Miller.
I am the chosen one.
Yeah, you are.
Oh-ho.
You are the one Zach to rule us all. Okay, so this week we got news stories like usual. We have What's Your Review In, where Neil is going to talk about some Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, and Zach will go over Myst on DS.
And do not forget, I will be talking a little bit about Calling as well, Hudson's
That's right.
horror title.
We'll have your weekly downloads for the last 2 weeks, as long
Mega
and
Man
also
10.
The weekly releases, the retail releases, I should say. And we will close out the show with our game club, which will actually take place after the closing credits this week to make it a little more
secret.
Yeah.
Hidden.
Yeah.
So basically, if you haven't played the game yet and you don't want us to spoil you on anything cool, then you can just stop the podcast at the closing credits like you would normally.
You have to enter a special code to get to the bonus content.
Konami code. It's a hint.
Yep. But it's backwards.
On your iPhone.
You have to be drunk.
Start AB. Oh, crap, I can't do it backwards.
So let's go ahead and kick off with some news stories this week. First on the docket, Sing files for bankruptcy. This is a third party for Wii. Do they make other systems too?
They made some games. They made a game for PlayStation 2 from 2003 called The Glass Rose, which I am not familiar with and didn't even come out in North America. It came out in Japan and Europe.
They're primarily known for Little King Story recently.
Little King Story is probably the game that they're most recently known for. They also did the Another Code series, which the DS version, what it's called Trace Memory, when it came out in North America. And Another Code R, the Wii version, came out in Europe and Japan, but has not come out in North America and probably won't. They also did Hotel Dusk, and they worked on the Monster Rancher DS games, or at least the first two. And these games are released in Japan again, which is kind of like Hotel Dusk, but it's being published by Tecmo. It's coming out at the end of March. I believe that's still untapped, besides the fact that they filed bankruptcy. And they're doing a Hotel Dusk sequel, Last Window, which came out in Japan in January, and we don't know if that's coming to North America or not. And hopefully the bankruptcy will not affect that game coming out to North America.
Did either of you guys play Hotel Dusk?
I did not.
Me neither.
I didn't either. I know Grant Buell on staff played it and really, really enjoyed it. So I'm sure he's not thrilled to see the developer go under. But hopefully we'll get that sequel over here before too long. It kind of sucks when you get a developer who's actually bringing some really quality third-party software to the platforms. They can't make it. You know, making video games is such a tough business right now. Like, everyone's going under. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Unless you're Nintendo, I guess, or maybe Square Enix.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some companies that are, I guess, a lot more conservative with what they do, or at least they are very successful, so they don't have to be as conservative. Like, I think, well, even Nintendo, they always make calculated risks. And I think Activision kind of is just like, let's throw all this shit at the wall because it was making money when we, you know, had lightning in a bottle before. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, everyone's being hit hard. Even Activision got hit hard, even though I think they were still profitable last year. EA is, you know, still trying to come back.
Appealing to a niche genre is not going to be a thing in about 4 years. There's going to be about four genres of games by, like, 2015.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing with, like, XSEED and Ignition and everything, is that, I mean, or at least Ignition makes other games as well, but they're localization teams. It's usually, you know, smaller groups. I know XSEED, I believe, is like something like 5 or 6 people, maybe. Like, I could be a little off with that, but it's a small amount of people, and they just localize games and bring them over. And it's pretty much, I think it's a pretty controlled operation.
Well, when you're that small, it's not that much of a, you know, you're not dropping, you know, millions and millions of dollars on salary, so you can keep your budgets a little bit under control.
Yeah,
but by the same token, it doesn't take much to break it either.
Yep, it's definitely sad. I love Little King Story. It's a fantastic game.
I borrowed it from a friend of mine about 6 months ago, and I've yet to put it in my Wii. I just haven't had the time to do it. I put a lot of time
into it, and I think probably a review copy came along, and I didn't play it for a while, and then I loaned it to a friend of mine, and he absolutely loved it. Like, I was like, you would like this, and he's like, I do.
I'm sort of like in a spot right now where I'm trying to clear off my backlog shelf.
Same here.
Actually play through games that I have had on my shelf for a couple years and trade them in. But the ones that I don't plan on trading in, i.e. the ones that I am borrowing, they don't have a lot of priority right now because that PS3 is not going to buy itself. I need to start trading some stuff in.
Well, I was actually starting to do that as well, and then I got slammed by, well, I guess I shouldn't complain too much, in that I had a lot of review copies come in.
Sure.
So that delayed that considerably. I don't think I'll be able to play anything from my backlog until after PAX.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next news story. This is a big DS announcement to the award sequel to the award-winning Scribblenauts, which I guess won a whole bunch of game. Well, what was the awards?
It won a whole bunch of.
It was a DICE Awards.
The Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences.
Right.
I think it won Best Handheld Title or Most Innovative Handheld Title or something along.
It won
those
like
lines.
Three awards last year. Scribblenauts 2, by the way, if I didn't mention the name.
Yeah.
Scribblenauts 2 has been announced for DS. When was this game announced? Did they give a date?
It's coming out in fall 2010, and the big additions seem to be that they're adding better controls, which is really my main complaint with the last game. It was a lot of fun to create shit. It just sucked interacting with it because your guy would just like run in place when you would tap the touchscreen. It was all touchscreen controls. And now they're adding D-pad controls. They're supposedly touching up the touchscreen controls. And they're also adding, you know, new puzzles that have more depth to them, and they're adding adjectives, which you can then string them together and make, you know, like a big Kraken or a little Kraken.
I wouldn't say the touchscreen controls were my biggest complaint about the first Scribblenauts. I think my biggest complaint about the first Scribblenauts is that for the millions and millions of options you had when you're playing the game, very few of them meant anything. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like they should retool the concept a little bit. I don't want to see them change it drastically, but I'd like to see that, you know, I want to see more cause and effect. And I don't want to see just mean thing kills friendly thing with like 17,000 possible combinations of right. various animals right. or monsters and people I could bring in. Like that's seemed like that's all that happened is there's a good chance if you brought two things into a room, one of them would kill the other one. And that was like half of what happened in the game.
I mean, it was kind of like a showpiece thing, in all honesty. Yeah, just be like, really "Oh, guys, look at this cool shit I can do in this game." But like, I mean, you just handcuff, you know, the star to the and then connect it to a vending machine, and you're fine. I think that's the cheat that there was.
The vending machine? I didn't even ever notice that.
I forget exactly what it was, but the game has really been out of my mind. But I think Scribblenauts 2. I think it'll improve on it. I think Fifth Snail is a great developer. I just think they're still learning as they're going through. They have great ideas, but they haven't nailed the execution in any of their games, in my opinion at least. But that guy from the forums, he seems to not be optimistic. He said in the thread for the about the announcement, it also sounded like the first one, as well as the Drawn to Life games, were worth picking up too. I've gotten to the point where I just about loathe everything about the first Scribblenauts. It'll be a very hard sell to convince me to get this, to give me, give this one my money or time.
You know, I didn't play the first Scribblenauts just because of all the control problems I heard about. Because a game like that seems like you really need really precise controls. So if they fix that in the second game, like if I can move that little dude with the D-pad, I mean, I think I'd pick it up just because I am intrigued by the premise, but. Like I said, I don't want to be frustrated by it.
This is kind of a situation where I really feel like this is a problem that could be handled via a patch if there was a system in place for DS games.
Yeah,
that's true.
And there's not a system in place for that to happen. But if there was, I would much rather see a patch to the original game than a full new $30 retail release. But that's just me, I guess.
Super Scribblenauts 2.
Yeah. Super Scribblenauts HD Turbo Fighting Edition.
Yep.
Sold. I want it. Hadouken. Let's go ahead and move on to the next news story. EA earns a cool $125 million from the EA Sports Active.
And they also announced EA Sports Active 2.0.
Yeah, that just got announced today, actually, didn't it?
Last night it was announced at an event at GDC. And EA Sports Active 2.0 is going to add a heart rate monitor, which I guess is kind of like Nintendo's Vitality Sensor. This is a product of EA. It is not Nintendo's Vitality Sensor. But it's basically, it straps onto your arm and it'll read your heart rate as you go through your exercises. And the other new addition to this is that it's adding wireless motion sensor controllers, which I think it's going to come with two of them. And they have built-in motion sensors, their leg and arm straps. So like the original one that had the leg strap, these are going to be straps, but you're not going to have to stuff the nunchuck and be constrained by the cord. You'll be able to, you know, move freely, which it seems that's going to be great. And they're also adding a whole new online component to it that you'll be able to access your data anywhere. And I think there's some more functionality for the PS3 version that got announced. And it's also coming to iPhone and iPod Touch. I don't know why an Xbox 360 game wasn't mentioned. I assume we'll probably hear about that when Microsoft unveils the entire Natal world at E3.
Has the Sports Active series has it eclipsed the Wii Fit?
I don't think that's possible. Wii Fit has done far, far too well for almost anything to eclipse it.
Okay. Yeah. And you also have to think is that Wii Fit has been in the top 10 pretty much since it came out.
Yeah, that's true.
And EA Sports Active, I think, was on the top 10 for a couple months, but it kind of tapered off. But I think it still put up good numbers. I know back at E3, I think as of E3, it had been out for like 2 or 3 weeks. And they said it sold 600,000 copies in its first 2 weeks.
Jesus.
Which, I mean, it's one of the top 20 best-selling Wii games.
I think you'll find that most people who have tried them both think that EA Sports Active is a little more of a serious
EA Sports workout. Active well, is, yeah. is way better.
Yeah. From the forums, Controller Flex says, as an owner of both Wii Fit and EA Sports Active, by the way, speaking of which,
hey,
I do believe Active is a solid title. Sadly, I don't think the sales will reflect people working out. I think that EA... and Nintendo, for that matter, did a great job at selling the latest and greatest, quote, fat-reducing machine. You know, I had EA Sports Active, and I set it up for the 30-day challenge, and I only made it about two-thirds of the way through before I completely just lost interest.
At least you didn't blog for the six-week challenge and, like, falter after getting through 2 or 3 weeks.
No, exactly. I didn't make it public.
See, that's public defamation.
My failure was entirely private. You know, yeah. And the problem wasn't that the game was bad or anything. It did get kind of boring after a while, and it certainly was a workout. I think I was playing it on easy. Well, I'm out of shape. I'm not going to deny it. I was playing it on easy, and there were some exercises that really, really burned. Like, there's one where you're doing some downhill inline skating, and basically the game asks you to squat for about 10 to 15 seconds and then do a high jump and then go back into a squat for 10 to 15 seconds and repeat for about 2 minutes. And by the time you're done with that, you're definitely feeling it.
Yeah.
So it's like this skiing game in Wii Fit, but longer?
Probably. Yeah. I've never actually played Wii Fit, so I can't comment on that. But you know, the problem was that I travel on weekends on a fair amount back to my home city of Omaha, which is like a 2-hour drive away, which means I go back quite a bit because it's pretty close. And when you're always on the road, you can't bring weekends into your workout schedule.
Yeah, but that was my exact problem too, because I was at school.
Yeah, it just throws off your entire routine when you're supposed to get in like 2 days on, 1 day off, 2 days on, 1 day off. Well, if those 2 days fall on a weekend, then you get out of sync. And, you know, it's all self-discipline, but I failed. I failed.
Yeah, I do too. Let's move on to an uplifting story now.
Yay. NHL 2K11 will be a Wii exclusive, which personally, although I don't play hockey video games very often, I think this is a pretty big deal because I seem to recall there was a time when 2K Sports pulled all support from the GameCube.
Yeah. Well, they've been coming out with a baseball game, but that's also because there's no other competition with a baseball game on Wii.
Sure, sure. Well, because, and is the NBA 2K series coming out on Wii?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
And the hockey series has come out. I think this will be its third year. And I know last year's was supposed to be very good. I've been wanting to get it. It has Motion Plus support. It has 8-player online, I think. It uses Wii Speak. Like, it was a very underappreciated title, at least for all of what it used. And I know everything that I read about it was that it was very good.
Yeah, so I guess the idea here is that they're going to pull back support on the HD versions for 1 year and sort of rethink their strategy, I guess, a little bit. So I'm not really sure exactly if this exclusivity is more a deal where they want to keep their brand around for their year off, or if they actually feel like they have a real, like, winning product on the Wii. And they
I wonder if they're just putting their B team on the Wii to get something out there with their name on it while their A team works on revamping the HD games.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Ian Sane says. He said from the forum thread on this. I'm not sure what to think. On one hand, hey, it's an exclusive. But on the other, the fact that they're going back to the drawing board with the other version suggests that that is the real focus. It suggests that with the Wii, they can just crank out another sequel. But with the PS/360, they have to make more of an effort.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's right.
Yeah, I think he probably is right.
Although, to add a little more fuel to the fire, I believe probably about an hour, not even, before we started recording, this is on Wednesday, there was something about Walmart listing something about EA Sports releasing an NHL game this fall. But, I mean, it's a retailer report, so it could be holding up, but we haven't heard anything official yet. So there might be competition for the hockey genre on the Wii, which I don't think has happened in quite a long time. Well, it hasn't happened ever, because only 2K games have made it.
That's very interesting. I've heard that the EA game is considerably better than the sports game.
They used to, as far as I know, I'm not a big hockey person, but my brother's really into it, and I have a couple of other friends that are. And that they kind of, 2K and the EA series would kind of flip-flop between which one was better. And in recent years, the EA series has basically just been mopping the floor with the 2K series.
Yeah.
I don't think either one is bad. It's the case where, you know, competition breeds good games.
Yeah. If only NFL 2K was still around.
Yeah. Well, I was always a Madden guy. I understand why people like the 2K series, but I was always a Madden guy.
No, I don't really play either, but I understand that, you know, a lot of people thought the 2K series was better, but I just like the idea of there being, you know, Madden team having a reason to improve their product. Because they honestly, the last, at least as far as the NCAA franchise is concerned, which you probably know that I'm more interested in, there hasn't been any real improvement in the last five years. It's been pretty much the same thing over and over again. With like a couple of, like, they've had pretty much one major feature addition in the last four or five years. It's ridiculous.
All right, so there's another game announcement, too. Ubisoft is developing a Shaun White skateboarding game.
So I assume that means he's snowboarding down a hill, and then he gets to the bottom of the hill, and his board gets wheels so that when he gets to the
to be fair, Shaun White has also won awards for skateboarding. Like, he's also proficient at skateboarding.
See,
that's the one thing that I don't think anyone really knows, is that it's not like he's never skateboarded before. He's a pretty good skateboarder. And I assume, you know, the Shaun White snowboarding series has sold very, very well for Ubisoft, as far as I know. And it's a pretty decent series, although it seems to have a slant towards kids, at least on the Wii versions, which seem to be successful ones. But, I mean, this is really a no-brainer move. It allows you to have something varied that also, you know, is the same kind of experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it still hasn't been officially announced yet, but this is pretty much it.
You know, this is using that silly Tony Hawk board, right? The ride board?
No, I assume it'll probably use the balance board. I mean, we don't have confirmation, but I mean, the Tony Hawk ride board is Activision's. And I don't think Ubisoft really would want to support that. I think they want to continue using the balance board. I just hope it's not Skate It, because Skate It was pretty terrible.
I would ever want to play a skateboarding game on a peripheral where I'm standing on something. It doesn't sound like it would be easy to control or fun. Like, I don't know. Like, you can't really do it. It's a pretty piss poor approximation. Like, when you get the Wii Remote with like Wii Bowling and Wii Golf, it's a pretty decent approximation of the actual movements required. But
it is, yeah.
But with Tony Hawk Ride, I've never played it, but I can't fathom that it's anything like actual skateboarding, really.
And actually, I mean, in all honesty, like that, I think the failures with that game, with Tony Hawk Ride, are not so much in the board. I think the board is really great. I think a lot of the problems with it are in the game. And that's why, I mean, if you read my review, I gave the game a 4.5.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that there's a lot of potential with that board. It's just that the initial game, the first game, was terrible. And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, it's definitely, it's not really a mainstream game in that, because, like, playing with that fucking skateboard is hard, and it's because it's more, it's not like riding a skateboard. There's still a lot of differences. Like, you can't flip the board. That would just be dangerous.
Sure.
But it does have a feel to it that I don't think the balance board can replicate. And I think that was the problem with skating, is that you couldn't get that replication. And I hope that it seems like, you know, Shaolin Skateboarding is actually going to get, you know, not like the EA B team, which I think made Skate It. I think, you know, Shaolin Skateboarding is actually going to get, you know, a lot of development thrown its way and some clout. It's Ubisoft Montreal is developing it. I don't know exactly how Ubisoft's divisions all work. I know they're all working on different games at the same time. I don't know about the actual teams inside there. But I think that if the effort's put into this game, it could be very good. It's just that it depends on if the effort's going to be put into it. And I think we'll find out more once they officially announce it. And I assume it'll start showing up at events. I mean, I would be very surprised if this
isn't it. You say it's Ubisoft Montreal?
Yeah.
I'll bet you Ezio is a unlockable character.
Wonderful. Hey, Neil, why don't you take this next story, since you have a personal interest?
Oh, God. So Lady Gaga is coming to Rock Band, and I just thought this is very humorous. And I won't spend too much on this, because there's another Rock Band announcement that's actually, I guess, more interesting. But I thought it was very amusing how this was just all, you know, revealed. There was a leak, and then there was this official press release. You know, Lady Gaga making her debut on Rock Band with a hot 4-pack, and it's Bad Romance, Just Dance, Monster, and Poker Face. And, I mean, that's funny enough, the fact that Lady Gaga is coming to Rock Band and really pissing off a lot of people, as I can tell. I'm a fan of Rock Band on Facebook, and I think there were about 130 comments chastising Harmonix for, you know, having Lady Gaga sully the good name of Rock Band. But then there was
I like the songs that are on the radio. So soon.
She's entertaining. I'll give it that. I'm not a huge Lady Gaga fan, but the woman is hella entertaining. But the funniest part about this is that they're also including Eric Cartman from South Park's rendition of Poker Face,
yes.
Where he That's played fantastic. It on Rock Band in an episode of South Park last fall, which, like, I mean, I really blame this all on Rock Band, but I'm excited as hell.
I was rolling
hell.
On the floor during that scene. It was so
yeah,
funny.
Like, that's, a, like, I just think, like, and the fact that, like, this is built in where it's Lady Gaga's doing this and it seems like she's advertising her new album, and South Park, it, like, this DLC is coming out the day before the new season of South Park. Like, I just think it's kind of brilliant marketing.
Yeah.
And marketing that you would never expect.
That's fantastic.
And I mean, not that we'll spend this much time on this, because there's not really that much to say. Rock Band 3 got announced for holiday 2010.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. They said they're going to innovate and revolutionize the music genre once again, just like they did with Rock Band, Rock Band 2, and the Beatles Rock Band. And you know what? Screw it. I'll believe them. They didn't say that they innovated it with Live at Rock Band.
Poker Face.
This isn't entirely Wii-related, because my Rock Band setup is on 360.
Yes, as is mine.
I launched into the Rock Band Network, which just came out, I think, a week or two ago, maybe not even that long ago.
Yeah.
I went and dropped, like, probably a good 15, 20 bucks on Rock Band tracks. Yeah.
There's definitely the Rock Band Network. There's 100 songs are out on that.
Yeah,
and
they
a lot of them are smaller bands. Like, I know Jonathan Colton's on it, MC Front a lot. I think
I bought
Shins.
4 Jonathan Colton songs.
But, like, it's more of, like I guess, you know, a smaller ground. Like, not big names, but it allows other names. Like, I know The Main Drag, which is a band that one of the people from Harmonix is in, John mm-hmm. Drake, I think. And there might be other people from Harmonix in it as well. But they have, like, their entire albums up there now. And I know there's a couple bands that I like the RX Bandits.
There's a fair amount of, like, well-known indie bands on there.
Yeah,
like,
that's
the
thing.
Of
Montreal
is
on it. Like,
Of Montreal. The Shins is one of my favorite bands, and they put a song out there, and I
think Stroke
9,
which they had the song Kick Some Ass.
And Little Black Backpack.
Yeah, Little Black Backpack as well. And I think Third Eye Blind is coming to Rock Band Network as well. Semi-Charmed Kind of Life, baby.
Nice commentary, Zach.
But I mean, there was a lot of Rock Band news in the past week or so, and I'm glad to see it back. And the other interesting thing is that Rock Band 3 was actually announced on Facebook.
Yeah, it was. They haven't put out any kind of press release yet. They just dropped a comment on their Facebook wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe Rock Band Network has got a 30-day exclusivity deal with Microsoft.
Yeah, and then so that should be coming to Wii in early April.
So look out for that. And I don't know, I haven't played a lot of Rock Band 2 lately, but they updated they put out a game update that lets you put up together a 5-song playlist. I don't know if that's coming to Wii, because I don't think the Wii game does a lot of software updates.
Couldn't you always do that?
Could you? Am I just dumb? I never figured that out.
Yeah, yeah. In Rock Band 2 from the start, you can make your own playlist.
Oh, man. I'm so dumb. This is
more
like
You just have
dumb
to, like,
test.
Hold a button down, and then it'll start
making
it.
I didn't notice it until I started playing around the other night, though. So
yeah, wow. Rock Band 2. If you're into music games, just get Rock Band 2. It's the best freaking game there is.
And there were some comments on the TalkBack thread. I didn't pull any quotes from this one, but for the Rock Band 3 announcement, that suggested that, like, the music genre will be dead because they keep putting new games out.
If Rock Band 3 is innovative, then they're not killing it. They're making it better. Okay, Green Day Rock Band, step backwards. I'll give it that. But, you know, that'll pay the bills. Like, Green Day Rock Band's going to sell like fucking hotcakes. Let's get real here.
Don't say that.
Well, yeah, it will, though. It will sell.
Dude, Green Day, like, hate on it. All, you know, the gaming press wants to about Green Day Rock Band. Green Day's a freaking huge band that
kids
will sell very, very well.
Buy Green Day.
Dude, they are.
Yeah, they probably will.
I think their record sales prove that kids today will buy Green Day. They have a musical coming out.
They what?
American Idiot, the musical. I think it's coming
soon. I'm not sure the announcement of the musical was quite the point you are looking to prove there. I'm not sure the kids today give a crap about the musical scene.
Well, I was a theater kid, so I was weird.
Let's drop this next news story, which is actually sort of not really even a Wii news story, but it's sort of related. This week, today, actually this evening, like within the last 2 hours, Sony at the Game Developers Conference, which is happening right now, they announced the motion controller, like the name and the launch, not the launch date, but the sort of the launch strategy.
It's coming out this fall, though. We know that much.
It's called the Sony Move.
Is it the PlayStation Move? I'm not sure.
I don't think it's PlayStation Move.
Maybe you're right. PlayStation Move. I think you are correct about that.
But supposedly it has less buttons than the Wii Remote, and it also has a nunchuck ripoff, but there is no cord. It's called a sub-controller.
Right. Clever. Very clever.
And it still has the weird-looking, like, dildo ball thing at the end.
That is so ugly.
It works with the iToy. I know Aaron Kalutzka, he's at GDC. I think he's actually going to be checking out the PlayStation Move tomorrow. But he was saying about how it seems like Sony is kind of going – they might be onto something, because it's kind of like they're taking the best of Wii and the possibility of Natal by using the iToy.
Here's why I don't think that what they're doing is going to be successful. The success of the Wii has a lot less to do with the motion controller and a lot more to do with branding.
Yeah.
And I realize the PlayStation brand is popular, but it's also
the iToy ain't selling shit.
It's also taken a big hit over the past 4 years.
Yeah.
I just don't think that they can put out a motion controller and expect to suddenly, you know,
to be fair, their campaign for the Slim was very good.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see what their plan is for the PlayStation Move, because they've been pretty quiet about it up until this point. And I think they're going to prove if this thing is going to succeed by how they market it until its launch. And it sucks because, at least it sucks for Sony, and I think it sucks for Microsoft, but more so for Sony, because Microsoft definitely has the upper hand right now, because they're basically doing the Wii thing. They're marketing Natal like Wii was marketed.
But Natal, I mean, we still don't even know what the heck it really is.
Well, I think the problem with Natal, at least my problem with it, is that I don't think we're going to get a lot of, like, real games for that. I know Fable 3 should use it, but other than that, like, I think even the developers, I believe, have said that they're thinking smaller scale for this. It's not like the Wii where you'll have, you know, kind of more ambitious projects that use it. Like, I don't think with Natal you're not going to get something like Red Steel. I don't think you'll get something like Red Steel 2. I think you're just going to get, you know, like, fucking mini games, like, where you're dodging balls and, you know,
you're gonna get
virtually driving a car where you don't have a controller. Like,
I guess all I'm saying is that a large part of why the Wii was successful is that Nintendo changed the entire focus of the company to rebrand themselves with the Wii's strengths in mind. Sony and Microsoft aren't going to abandon their core user base to rebrand themselves around the move. It's not going to happen. And if you don't do that, I don't think you're going to have the level of success that Nintendo had.
I do think. I mean, they announced some games for this. Some sort of sports game. I believe it's like Sports Challenge. I don't know exactly what it is. We don't have it listed here. But that's basically their Wii Sports, like straight up. I think there's an archery game in it. I know that much. Yeah. There's SOCOM 4, which actually, I mean, I'm not into SOCOM, but the fact that it's using the move, like that is very interesting. And I think if that's done right, that could be very, very good. And I think it's something that you can't have on the Wii. They can have it SOCOM. Yeah, Resident Evil Gold Edition, which I don't think is going to have the Asinine setup where you're holding like the friggin'... like the Wii remote or whatever, the Move, and a literal PlayStation 3 controller. I think you'll just be using the Move and the sub controller for RE5, which the Gold Edition I think came out this week, and that already has the functionality in it. And so is Tiger Woods, for that matter. That's also going to use it, which that's coming out for they got announced. It's also coming out for Wii, and they're going to add some more in-depth motion plus controls to that.
It would be nice if they patched the current version of Resident Evil 5 so that it is compatible with Move.
Yeah.
Because I'd actually consider buying a Move, but I don't want to rebuy Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I love Resident Evil 5.
There's also a motion fighter game, which I haven't heard too much about, but it's basically, you know, like you're boxing with the Move controllers. There's Move Party, which has been kind of described as WarioWare-esque. Mm. And Slider, that joystick described as Mirror's Edge meets Pain. Which is kind of interesting, I guess. The whole thing is going to come in some kind of bundle that'll be the Move, the PlayStation Eye toy, or the PlayStation Eye, or whatever the hell it's called, and an unannounced game, and it'll be under $100, which, I don't know. That might be too steep for me, but I'm definitely interested to see what they're going to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once again, Nintendo launched with only the motion controller, and they put it in every box. And that's part of the reason it was so successful.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know that selling it as an attachment 4 years later does the trick.
I mean, that's the thing, and with the rumors that Natal might be like $50, like, that's the thing. I think the cheaper of the two will win.
Once again, though, not everyone's going to have it.
Yep.
And you're segmenting your user base by not having it in the box with every system from day one.
I mean, we'll see. I think E3 is going to be very telling of the success of both of these.
Oh, I'm definitely interested, and I know that I might be wrong. I mean, it may be a runaway success, but I'm just saying I remain unconvinced. I don't think you out-Wii the Wii unless you completely rebrand your system. But let's move on from that. Let's head on into what you're reviewing. I'm gonna abstain this week because I don't really have much to talk about. But Neil's got a couple of games for us.
Yes, I have two games. One of them, the review just got posted today, actually, and that first game is Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing for Wii. Pretty much, I guess, just to say about this game is it's basically Sonic Kart. Like, it is pound for pound, pretty much on par, I think, with Mario Kart Wii. I love Mario Kart Wii. I was actually looking over our reviews. Greg gave it an 8.5, and Johnny kind of hated on it with a 7.5. He thinks it was kind of a step backwards for the series, where I think, in my opinion, Mario Kart Wii it's my favorite in the series since 64. Wow. I love Mario Kart Wii. I love the online. I love the multiplayer. I like how they changed the power sliding in it. I'm a really big fan of it. And I think Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing does a good job of replicating the Mario Kart experience, but it lacks the Nintendo touch.
Sure.
But, I mean, the tracks are cool. The characters are really cool. The multiplayer is fun at times. I think the one thing that the multiplayer has is that it has, some interesting game modes, and the battle mode is fun, but it's basically like the Mario Kart battle mode, but it lacks like the creativity and level designs. So for the battle modes, it's just basically like three crappy arenas.
Sure.
And it has online, but the online, the lobby system is ass. When you're actually in a race, it runs perfectly. I didn't run into any trouble, but it took me upwards of 5 minutes in between races to get into something else, if I could get into something else.
Does it use the Wii wheel?
Yes, it is compatible cool. with the Wii wheel.
Does it work as well as it did in Mario Kart?
I don't think it works as well, but I okay. think that's also in that, you know, the
I don't
Wii
think
wheel
works that well in Mario Kart.
Yeah, well, that's subjective. But I mean, it's not really that noticeable of a difference.
I find that I enjoy
telling me I'm wrong.
Yeah. I find that I enjoy playing with the wheel, but I'm not any good with it at all.
I would play it when I would play with my mom because it would kind of give me a handicap.
Yeah.
I know
exactly.
My mom loves playing with the wheel. Lauren loves playing with the Wii wheel. But I'm a Wii Remote Nunchuck guy. That's the same thing that I use for Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing.
Very good, very good.
But yeah, that's about it. I gave it an 8.0. Go read the review. And it made me like Big the Cat again, which is weird. But I'll move on now.
Yeah.
Because he's funny in the game. But I'm also, I haven't played too much of it, but I've been playing Hudson's survival horror game Calling, which is basically, I don't know, it's kind of like that game, that thing Pulse, that movie with the cell phones that kill you. What?
Does it take place in London?
No, it doesn't.
Nope. Andy got it.
I got it. I'm too. With you. I'm All with right. you, Zach. Is that a Wii or a DS game?
It's a Wii game. Okay. It basically... It's a first-person game. It's kind of like, I guess, a first-person adventure, but not in, like, a Metroid Prime way. And like, you're walking around, and you can barely see in front of your face, and you're, like, pointing stuff and looking at it. I haven't gotten too far in it, so I can't really judge it too much right now. But, I mean, right now, it's scary. Like, it's frightening, and it sets a good atmosphere, but it really sucks when I just have no idea where I'm going because it's so damn dark. I got a flashlight, but like then I finished that level, and then I played as another character, and then I didn't have a flashlight. So instead, I'm in a school. I'm looking around, like trying to see in front of me. I don't know where to go next. But it uses the old cell phone trick with the Wii, where it uses a speaker. But this one, unlike No More Heroes, is actually like, yo, if you want to hear the phone, you got to turn the speaker's volume on. Because when I first played No More Heroes, I didn't have the speaker's volume on, and when you're in a phone scene in No More Heroes, you cannot change the volume of the speaker.
Yeah.
But this one, it's like, set it to at least 3 so you can hear. And it'll be like, I picked up a phone, and then it rang, and it was like, yo, creepy, like a creepy voice, like, I'm coming to get my phone. And then, like, you walk down the hall, and you're on, like, the 4th floor of a building. And then the phone rings, and you answer it. You like press the minus button to answer it, and then it's like, I'm on the second
movies.
I'm on the second floor, and you're like, okay, I'll go meet you at the second floor. So I started walking near a staircase, and then I got a call like 3 steps later. It was like, I'm on the 3rd floor landing, and then I walked around and I was trying to get to the staircase, and I didn't hear anything. She didn't call back. I don't know where she is, and then I stopped playing. But that is my experience with Calling. I hope it gets a lot better.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and that's all I got. Let's move on to Zach.
What you got, Zach?
Me? I got a copy of Myst for the DS. Myst, for you younger listeners, was basically a point-and-click adventure where you kind of click to move forward, and it's the game is literally a series of JPEG images.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's a puzzle game. Because you just wander around this island and you solve puzzles. And I mean, everybody's played Myst, for God's sake.
Actually, Zach, I haven't played Myst. I have one quick question about it. This is one of those things I've always kind of wondered. Yeah. Is it one of those games where you can screw yourself over so you can't progress if you click the wrong thing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
I've never gotten into that situation.
Those kind of games drive me crazy, and I've always kind of wanted to try Myst, but the one time I did try Myst, I just couldn't really get into it. I want to try it again one of these days.
Well, it's hard to get back into. It's such an old puzzle game now that if you don't know what you're doing, you can wander around the same few areas forever.
Yeah.
And the clues, you know, it used to be just kind of the genre that the clues were hard to find or hard to piece together, but now it just seems frustrating. I mean, I was a fan of Myst back when it first came out, and I was happy to get this game and see how it's aged. It hasn't aged great, but the problem...
that game is not... It's still a very good game. It hasn't aged that well.
Right.
Right, right.
But the problem is that, you know, if you've played the original Myst, it's you know that it's a very detail-oriented game. You know, you need to be able to see every part of that JPEG image clearly to get all the clues, to know where you can click to move. But on the DS screen, it's all grainy and low resolution.
Right.
And it just looks awful. And in fact, my buddy, one of my buddies has the iPhone version of Myst. And we compared them, and there's no comparison at all. The iPhone version looks great. And the DS version looks like shit. So, you know, there is a problem because there will be places where you're looking you're looking at a JPEG image and you're trying to find, you know, a control panel, let's say. And, God, 10 years ago, I could have sworn this panel was on the wall. Is it that splotch of color over there on the left? Let me tap that. Oh, yeah, okay, it's that.
Yeah, tap that. Tap that, Zach. Tap it like
tap
a fucking
that.
Keg.
Hell yeah.
So it's a whole lot of just, like, randomly slapping your stylus against the screen and hoping something cool happens?
Yeah, because you can't tell what's there all the time.
Yeah.
So that's really frustrating. It tries to compensate for that with a map, which is a new feature, according to the box. But the map is really just a picture from the instruction manual showing the island from an overhead view.
Oh, lovely.
And then the
that
other
sounds
new
really
tool,
useful.
The other new tool is a, what do you call it? Screenshot tool, where let's say you come across a clue, you know, like a number sequence that you need to remember for a puzzle that's halfway around the island. So use the screenshot clue, and it goes to the top screen, so you can go to that other place without, you know, losing that information.
That sounds kind of cool, actually.
I mean, that is kind of nice, yeah. But, you know, in the old days, we'd use a piece of paper.
But technology, Zach, it's new. Yeah, that sounds...
Technology.
That sounds eh.
I don't really like it just because the low-resolution pictures, and it looks grainy, it really does ruin the game.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to the weekly downloads. We'll just go through these really quickly because there's I don't know that there's a whole lot to talk about here. The last 2 weeks on WiiWare, we have Mega Man 10. Stay tuned for much more talk about that. But for now, we'll move on to Dart Rage.
Well, those are some pissed-off darts.
Yeah. That's from JV Games. It'll cost you $6. Yeah.
JV Games, known only for Pong Toss frat party games, but they're only known for that because it was changed from Pong
beer
Toss.
Pong. Yeah.
Changed from Beer Pong to Pong Toss, but apparently that game wasn't good, and I'm not too optimistic. I guess they're selling to someone because they keep on putting out WiiWare games.
Yeah. Happy Hammerin', GameBridge title for $5.
It's basically whack-a-mole.
Yeah, it's, nice. It's exactly whack-a-mole. In fact, I believe their press release said something to the effect of, finally, a whack-a-mole game on the Wii. Max and the Magic Marker, which I haven't tried yet, but I do want to. It looks really cool.
Me too. I know we have impressions up on the site. Jared Rosenberg checked it out, a couple days after the Media Summit. It was also at the Media Summit. We have some direct feed footage. It looks really cool, like kind of like a mixture of like Drawn to Life and I guess maybe Scribblenauts or something along those lines.
Yeah.
It looks very Fifth Cell-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an iPhone game I played called Trace that's kind of like this. It's sort of – you just draw your own platformer, basically.
Yeah. And there's also a PC demo of this, and I think it's already out on PC anyway.
Oh,
so
cool.
If you want to check it out that way.
Yeah, the game will cost you $10 on WiiWare.
Yep.
And then next up we have on both WiiWare and moving on to DSiWare, this game is available on both. It's Dracula Undead Awakening.
Dracula Dead and loving it.
Basically, it's a twin stick shooter. So,
yeah.
If you like,
I believe it's out on iPhone for $1, and
yep,
it's $5
sure
on DSiWare and $10 on WiiWare.
I would rather play it on WiiWare than on iPhone, but that's for $9 premium. Maybe not so much.
Yep.
This is from developer Chillingo, and it's $5 on DSiWare. And the other DSiWare titles for the last 2 weeks, we have Let's Golf, which is a somewhat decent.
It's a Game Loft golfing game, which
yeah,
I think with
again,
a Game Loft game, it's hit or miss.
Port. It's an iPhone
Let's
port.
Golf.
I have it on my iPhone, but I've never played
game.
It.
Wait, you have it on your iPhone, but you haven't played it? What are you, the John Lindeman of iPhones?
Yeah, actually, this is my moment of shame. Last night I was going through my collection of iPhone apps and my and iTunes, because I've had mine for like 2 years now, and I only ever really keep about 30 or 40 apps on my phone, just because I don't want that much clutter. But the other day I was looking on the apps screen in iTunes. I have 155 iPhone apps.
Holy balls!
And they're not all paid, but they're not all free. I went through a phase where I was looking for a really good golf game on iPhone, and I bought Tiger Woods for I think paid full price, $10 for it. And I think Let's Golf at the time was on sale for $1, so I picked it up just in case I didn't like Tiger Woods. But I liked Tiger Woods, so I never went back to Let's Golf. This is a snapshot of my spending habits.
Yeah.
It's probably a good thing I don't have a DSi yet.
Well, I already have like probably 20 to 30 DSi games.
Yeah,
DSi,
so you know what I'm talking about.
It's ridiculous.
Did you get Spotto?
No, I haven't gotten Spotto. I probably will soon. I have some points on it.
There's a really great iPhone game called Spirit, and if it ever comes to DSi, you have to get it, Zach and Neil.
Okay.
I always forget that
just,
both you guys have
tell
DSi.
Me what it is. You'll probably be writing the article.
It's weird. It's sort of like you have to just – it's you just circle – enemies on the screen with your guy, and if you run into him, then you die. That's all it is, but it's good. It has a Geometry Wars aesthetic, but anyway, there is a game called Four Travelers Play Spanish, which might not actually be a game. I had trouble finding anything about this. It's sort of like an interactive Spanish teacher.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost like you can keep it on your DSi, and if you're in a foreign country that speaks Spanish, you can bust it out and have it be a dictionary.
It has four player multiplayer. So
yeah, well, there's four people can use it at once, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
Four travelers.
Four travelers.
It's not the lone traveler. There's four of them.
That's true. Elemental Masters, which is a fantasy card game, card battle.
Yeah. $8.
Okay, I guess.
Two player.
Yeah. LBX Games, have they done anything else? I don't really know.
Not that I know of.
Okay. Flips. There's two Flips titles, and Flips is basically
it's been a flip in 2 weeks.
They're interactive books, and I think double check me on this, Neil, but I think Flips is actually a retail game.
Yes, there was a retail
game
that came out last year.
Chapters from the retail game, basically.
But it's published by EA.
Yeah,
basically
they're
interactive
little,
books.
I think they're sort of like the young adult, but maybe younger than that, actually, like early teen sort of aimed.
Well, here let's read the plot from let's read the press release from the first one that came out. There's something strange going on with the loo in cubicle 4 of the girl's toilet. So the mere fact that it's mentioned as a loo, this is probably developed in London or England or something like that. It spewed green goo on Stacy's shoes and almost had a new boy James for lunch. Could that be our own James Jones?
Wait, what was James Jones doing in the women's bathroom?
Can he and his friends Alexander and Lenny flush out the cause of the trouble, or will the terrifying toilet plague the school with problems forever?
Well, look, all I'm saying, it's your $5. Spend it how you want.
Yeah. And the sequel, the builders are in to replace the girls' toilet block, but they're more interested in cups of teas and instant noodle snacks than doing any work. James suspects foul play, but Alexander and Lenny are doubtful until a strange accident hammers the truth home.
Oh, God, how does it end?
Can we just, like, rewrite this to have it just be, like, the cast of RFN? like every time I see James, for some reason, I'm just thinking James Jones. So we could have Alexander and Lenny could be, like, you know, I don't know, maybe Greg and we could just make it, split them into three people and have it, you know, Greg, Johnny, and John.
Where's the DSiWare Mad Libs app?
Oh, damn.
Anyway, moving on the list, we got VT Tennis, which is a tennis game, go figure, from Virtual Toys. That'll cost you $5. Globulous Party from Globzy, developer is called Globzy, apparently. $5.
Or Globs.
I can't remember what this game is
it's basically about. It's a minigame collection. There's Foursquare,
Bomber King,
Croquet, Darts, Petanque.
It kind of sounds like
snooker.
Clubhouse games.
What?
Kind of sounds like Clubhouse.
Yeah,
games,
or
but...
it also, I mean, some of these games I recognize from some Deca Sports games, which
right.
Petanque was in Deca Sports too. And I just want to say Petanque again, and again and again.
And that wraps it up for DSiWare.
Yep.
Not a whole lot this week, last 2 weeks, but
yeah. Well,
moving on to retail releases.
Well, Virtual Console. We skipped that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's just
we got Fatal Fury Special that was released on the Neo Geo. It came out in 1993. It's 900 points. You know, it's a fighting game.
I actually liked the Fatal Fury games quite a bit when I was in like high school.
I played Fatal Fury
1 or 2 a lot.
Yeah. There's 15 characters in this. They have
I might pick this up.
The original 8 from Fatal Fury 2, 3 new characters, a new boss, and 3 characters from the original Fatal Fury.
Mm-hmm.
So, it seems great. I mean, if you're a fan of the series, it's $9. It's the Neo Geo version.
For what the catch with Fatal Fury is, I mean, it is Street Fighter 2. I mean, it is exactly a Street Fighter 2.
It is a ripoff.
But it has a foreground and a background, so you can do attacks. And it's not like Double Dragon where you can walk from the foreground to the background smoothly. It's just sort of like if you're in the foreground, you'll fight your opponent in the foreground, or you can do a jump kick to the background.
That actually sounds pretty interesting.
It's I don't know that it's necessarily a well-executed gimmick, but a gimmick it is. And then the other virtual console title we have this week is Final Fantasy 2/4, depending on where you're from.
Yeah, which is it's good. Now on the Wii, you can pretty much play the entire Final Fantasy 2/4 saga as you have that and the after years.
Yes, yeah, which is actually pretty cool. I have never finished this game. I've started it. I played the DS remake for about 10 hours and kind of trailed off. Unfortunately, I was renting it, so I got tired of it, sent it back, and now if I ever want to play it, I've got to start over. I might pick that up, but I'm just really not into RPGs that much lately, so it'd be tough to convince me to go through it.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and move on to the retail releases for the past 2 weeks. First up on Wii, we have Calling, which Neil talked about a little bit earlier.
That I did.
We have MLB 2K10, and that's also coming out on the DS as well. Do either of you guys play baseball games?
I played the Bigs on Wii. I enjoyed it. I've heard nothing but shit about the MLB games. However, I'm actually in the process of trying to get a review copy of this because I'm interested to see if it's improved. Because I remember, I think I rented or something along the lines the first Wii MLB game, and I hated it.
I kind of feel like of all the major sports, MLB is the one that would translate best to the Wii's motion controls.
But I also, I think the MLB, the 2K series for MLB is terrible. I'm a big fan of EA's dormant MVP baseball series, and I also really like MLB The Show, which is a Sony published series, and I'll probably be getting that at some point.
Good things about The Show.
Yeah, The Show is fantastic.
Didn't 2K pull the same stunt with MLB that
they only have third-party rights though?
Okay. So Nintendo could put out an MLB game
theoretically.
Yeah. We also on the Wii have Racket Sports from Ubisoft, which is a racketball kind of.
Yeah, you know, it's got tennis. It has racquetball. I think it has a whole collection of racket-based sports.
Badminton? Does it have badminton?
I would imagine so. I hope so. It also uses the camera. Really? The camera that came with Your Shape.
Huh. Wait, okay, so...
Yeah, I think you can play it without a Wii remote. I think that is the hook.
Really? Interesting. Yes.
And I think it's $30 by itself and $40 with the camera.
There's not a lot of third-party peripherals that get supported in more than one game.
Oh, there's so many. Too many.
Moving on to the DS, we have Photo Showdown, which is a DSi-only title. Is this the one that was shown off at
I believe it's published by Konami, and you take pictures of different things. Like I know I saw commercials or at least stuff on up on the Nintendo channel that would like have like some little kid taking a picture of his pissed off older sister, and she gets turned into a monster. I think it like reads like the colors of the picture, and then it'll turn into a monster, and there's a battle system, and it's fun.
Okay, sounds fun.
Yep,
sounds fun. Finally, the DSi's killer app. Moving on, we have Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver. Hell yeah.
Can't wait.
Not my cup of tea, but I'm glad you guys are excited. Yes. I tried, I think, Pearl or Diamond. It was my first stab at a Pokemon game, and I played it for like 3 hours and didn't end up playing it much longer than that.
See, I understand
they have lots of fans.
Yeah, I went Red and Blue when I was younger, and then I didn't play another Pokemon game until Diamond and Pearl.
I think, honestly, I'm just, like, maybe 1 or 2 years too old to have played Pokemon when I was a kid. Because I think Pokemon came out when I was, like, a senior in high school. And if I had been just a little bit younger, I probably would have been all over it. But like when I was like a senior in high school, that was sort of like my dead period in my gaming history. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really understand why they keep remaking these games instead of just delivering a new.
Because they sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, because they can.
Fair point.
I played Red and Gold, and I skipped the Game Boy Advance games.
Ruby, Sapphire, and Ruby and Emerald,
Sapphire and Emerald. Because at that point, I didn't care. But then for some whatever reason, I was like, Pearl, all right, I'll try that. And then I caught them all and went insane.
And that's the Zach we know and love today.
Yay!
Deck of Sports for the DS. I actually have that downstairs right now, and I'll be playing more of that. I'm kind of putting off the review a little bit because it has, I think, 6 or 8 player single card multiplayer. And I'm my wife is throwing a birthday party for herself, or I guess I'm throwing her a birthday party. some variant of the previous two statements. In like 2 weeks, and at least 2 of the people coming have DSs. So I'm kind of waiting for them all to bring their DSs over so we can get like a 3 or 4 player game of, I don't know, like skydiving or something.
Yeah, I played that at a demo. It was Lauren, a PR person, and me. And it was a lot of fun. And it's good single card multiplayer. There's also a handful of stuff that are 2 player only. Like they have like an arm wrestling one. But
Sure. It seems okay, but I've only put like 10 minutes into it so far, and I wasn't blown away, but we'll see. You'll probably hear a lot more about that on the next newscast under my What's Your Review segment. Yeah. Next up on DS, we have Sonic Classic Collection, which I believe is just Sonic 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles.
Yeah, Sonic 1, 2, 3, and Knuckles. It has the lock-on stuff. You can save anywhere in Sonic 1 and 2. At least I don't think it's necessarily like save states. I think it's like you save what zone you're at or what level you're at.
I kind of feel like this might be the 30th or 40th release of these games on recent systems.
I think it's kind of it's a quick and dirty port from what I've heard, and I think there might be some slowdown in some of the games.
Well, wasn't really Sonic the Hedgehog Genesis for Game Boy Advance not well received?
Yeah, I don't think this is as bad as that, but I don't think it's too good for at least from what I've heard.
Interesting. I like those games, but, you know, I just don't need another copy of them.
Yep.
And that's all the retail releases we got lined up for you this week. And that's going to do it for this episode of Newscast Proper. Stay tuned after the closing credits for Game Club Mega Man 10 Edition.
Mega Man 10. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes Marketplace, Music Store, whatever you want to call it. Leave a review.
We have an email address now.
We have an email address now, so if you want to contact us, it's newscast@nintendoworldreport.com. That's, you know, newscast, like it sounds.
Check it out.
Yeah, and we might be having a Twitter feed soon, but that is not ready yet. It might be ready by the time you hear this.
And, comment on the talkback thread. We always love to hear feedback.
If you notice, usually it's us. Someone comments, we're all there like hawks, being like, yeah. What are you saying?
Oh my gosh, somebody commented.
Yeah.
Well, I figure, you know, I put in, you know, we've spent a couple hours recording this every week or every other week, and I put in another couple hours, you know, editing it. So we have enough time invested in this that we want to make sure people actually like it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're wasting way too much of our own personal time. So if you like it, we'll keep doing it. If you don't, then don't comment.
Yep.
So that'll just about do it for us, episode 13 of Newscast in the Can. We will see you next time. If you want to hear about Mega Man 10, stay tuned.
Yes. Bye.
Later. Bye.
Welcome to Newscast Game Club. This is our second game club, and we're doing Mega Man 10, which came out on WiiWare on March 1st. We're talking to you on March 10th, and I'm Neil. And if you listened to the rest of the show, then you'd probably know who I am. And I'm going to take the reins for this, and Andy and Zach are still here.
Howdy.
And we're gonna talk about Mega Man 10. So let's start off by saying how we like the robot masters and their stages.
I love them. I think it's a kickback to Mega Man 6. It's all gimmicky.
Yeah. It's a lot goofier.
It's a lot goofier.
I think Mega Man 9 was kind of like Mega Man 2 reincarnate.
2-4.
Yeah, and I think that I feel like Mega Man 10 is like Mega Man 6 reincarnate. Yeah.
I think 6 might be the only one that I never played on NES.
You can skip it.
Well, I'm kind of hoping they'll all eventually show up on a virtual console.
Four should be coming out soon. I hope 6 comes out. And 5.
Or I should just get a copy of the Anniversary Collection, which I had at one point but sold because I couldn't reverse the buttons.
I like
the Robot Masters. I think the stages are well assembled. They're hard as hell. This game is just really kicking my ass. I think it's probably not quite as hard as Mega Man 9, to be honest.
I think
in some aspects this might be harder, but I think the difference between this is I think there's a lot more like cheap tricks.
I felt like in Mega Man 9 they were trying to make a point.
Yeah.
That too. Let's see.
I feel like there were more cheap tricks in Mega Man 10. I feel like Mega Man 9 is on table harder, but this is like, you know, the first time through it was a lot brutaler. And I feel like the Robot Masters themselves are a lot harder than Mega Man 9.
I agree,
and actually, someone in the forums pretty much said the same thing.
The correct boss order is really tantamount to success.
Yeah. If you don't figure that out.
Like Commando Man with your pea shooter? I don't freaking think that's
Oh, God. I actually did that the first time through. I did that a lot my first time through. And then I went around the second time with a couple friends, and we played through it, and we actually kind of used the correct order. Which, I guess, let's get on a little bit. What would you guys say is your favorite Robot Master, and what would be your favorite Robot Master stage?
Stage definitely goes to Sheep Man. The mouse pointers and the sort of... The trippy techno, like, I don't know what the hell that had to do with sheep. Like, that is completely random.
Do androids dream of electric sheep?
Right.
Oh.
Like, I mean, that's really sense. I think that's where they're going with that, with the electricity and the sheep and the clouds. I thought that's definitely one of my favorite stages. I also really like Commando Man stage with the sand that comes onto the screen.
That was hard.
I think it's really devilish, but it's devilishly good.
You just stand in one place. I didn't think that area was too tough.
I was just more obnoxious.
And then there's a spot if you take one of the multiple paths, which that's another really cool thing about this one, is that there's a lot of, like, you can take two different routes through a level. And even in, like, some of the Wily stages, when you get through them, there's like, multiple points where it splits off, which is, it's really cool. And, like, you'll learn, like, all right, if I take this route, it'll lead me to an energy tank. And then if you happen to die, you can go back and take a different route and collect whatever goodies there.
I think the ones I had the hardest problem with were probably Strike Man and Dive Man.
Pump Man was a stage that annoyed me, but was a really cool stage.
I had a lot of problems with the Pump Man stage. Strike Man stage, the second mini boss, kicked my ass.
It's a pain in the ass. They have, like, it's the soccer goalie guy.
Yeah, with the electric goal.
The first one's hard enough, and the second one is just because basically there's a couple instant death positions it can get you in, and it just does a lot of damage. And I did find out with that, if you use the water shield on that, you'll absolutely tear his shit up if you can get it on.
Oh.
And that's really, I mean, as far as with the water shield tearing shit up, I hated Solar Man the first time through because I did not realize that the water shield was what did damage to him. And I ended
water
up, like, once I realized that, I realized that he was actually the last one that I beat my first time through. And once I realized that, I was like, oh, wow, he's really easy.
He was basically Pharaoh Man.
Yeah, which I don't really... What game was Pharaoh Man from?
4.
5, wasn't it? 4?
Yeah, I haven't played 5.
Was it 4?
Pharaoh Man has the best... Out of all the great Mega Man music, Pharaoh Man, in my opinion, has the best music.
Yeah.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Which one was Gravity Man? Was that 5?
5.
Yeah. That was the last one that I remember playing on NES. I think I missed 6, but...
Well, let's keep on with Mega Man 10 here.
Okay.
But what's your least favorite Robot Master or least favorite stage out of the 8?
Blade Man Blue.
Blade Man's like, he's like Sheep Man as well.
Blade Man was hard to hit even with the correct weapon.
Yeah, that's the thing is that like, with Sheep Man, like, if you use the rebound striker on Sheep Man, like, he is toast. Because you'll knock him out of the clouds and stuff.
Right.
Like it destroys him. And I think Sheep Man and Blade Man, they're both pretty easy. They have patterns that are, it's simple to do it without getting hit. If you have the patience to sit there for a while. But it's just like, mm-hmm. it gets annoying because you have to have, like, so much patience and you just need to repeat, get your few hits on, repeat again. But, I mean,
Nitro Man was my least favorite boss because he's zooming around up and down the walls and he's throwing metal blades all over the place.
Yeah.
He's almost impossible to do without getting your ass killed.
Yeah.
And the weapon he's weak against, kind of spoiler alert, although if you're listening to this, you've probably already beat him. The ice spike.
The chill spike.
If he runs over it, that's when it does the damage. Otherwise,
which there's a lot of like there's a lot of cool stuff like that. How like with the commando bomb,
yeah,
in order
I like
to do full
too.
Damage, you need to have it like hit a wall and then the after effects, which will go out.
Right,
that's what does
cool.
a lot of damage.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think Pump Man was the easiest boss in my opinion
by far.
I thought Sheepers was the easiest.
Which one did you guys go after first?
I did Sheep Man. Sheep Man was the first one that I got out, and then Pump Man.
They can both be beat pretty easily with just the Mega Buster.
And I think Blade Man can also be beat easily with the Mega Buster if you have the patience. Because I think Blade Man's weak against Commando Man. I mean, it's the Commando Bomb, but it's such a pain in the ass to use the Commando Bomb.
Yeah.
And did you guys ever go up walls with the Wheel Cutter?
Once, by accident, into a bad guy that killed me.
Friend of mine in Solar Man stage at the beginning, you're kind of going up like you're going upwards through a level, and he was just like we were talking about the Wheel Cutter, and he's just like, wait a minute, and he just went up the entire part up to a ladder.
Nice.
Went up there, but I have to say probably Nitro Man's my least favorite, only because it's such a pain in the ass because of the damn cars.
The highways suck.
Yeah.
One quick question. I only have 2 rush tools. Am I missing one?
Nope. You only get 2.
Nope.
Okay.
You get coil and jet.
Wasn't there a third one before?
It's interesting because there's 3 empty spots on that if you look at it. And there's also supposed to be 3 downloadable levels.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So there might be like 3 new Robot Masters with weapons.
Didn't you see have you not seen what those are?
Yeah, what is it? It's the robot killers from the Game Boy games.
It's going to be Anchor, the spiky dude, and the one from Mega Man 5. Never played 5.
Yeah.
But that's awesome that they're bringing those guys back.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's one more Robot Master thing I want to say. Neil, you know how you've seen this, but you haven't, Andy. At the end of the game on the credits roll, you know how they show each Robot Master and its number?
Yeah.
Well, how many Robot Masters did they show? I mean, what number was the end? I already know, but I want to see if you know.
I forget.
80.
Oh.
You know why?
Why?
Now, how many should there be?
8 times 9 is what? Don't do this to me, Zach. You know I can't do it. That's 72, 70, right?
72, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 72, then 72 plus 6.
Yeah. So why are there 2 other ones?
Oh, shit.
Because of Oil Man and Time Man from Powered Up. They're canonical. That made me happy.
I haven't played Powered Up.
I've heard
fantastic things.
But yeah, that made me really happy because I was like, wait, 77, how many Oh, cool!
Okay, gotcha.
Man and Time Man. Now I want to see 8-bit versions of them too.
I really need to play Powered Up. I have it. I just haven't put any time into it.
Oh man.
So how do you guys think this sticks up? This stacks up to past Mega Man games. I know we've already talked about how it's kind of like the Mega Man 6 to Mega Man 9's Mega Man 2. But I mean, as far as quality wise, do you think this is better than Mega Man 9? Do you think this is better than other Mega Man games, or do you think it's worse?
I think it's pretty much the same. I don't really see. I know a lot of people have pretty strong opinions on. You know, Mega Man 1 is too hard, Mega Man 2 is the best, Mega Man 3 is sort of really good, but then it went downhill with 4. Like, I never saw any of that. To me, all of them were good, and they were all almost the same amount of good.
I don't know. I think Mega Man 2 is far and away the best.
I agree. But
if I were to order them, I think 2 would definitely be at the top, and I'm still kind of torn between 9 and 10. I think right now I'm leaning more towards 10, but I don't know. I need to have some more time to sit on it before I pick which is better, 9 or 10. But I mean, 3 is definitely very good. I don't really think there's a bad Mega Man game. I think the first one in its unadulterated NES form kind of is too brutal for its own good.
The first Mega Man game.
Yeah, I assume it powered up, they made it hella better.
Well, they made the new mode. There's like a remake mode, which is better, but then they have the original game with like the new graphics. So you can compare and contrast the, you know, first game,
level
the original
design.
Oh, okay.
And it is really freaking hard.
But, I mean, Mega Man 2, I think, is definitely like that is the best game in the series. I would argue that as fact.
I haven't
played 7 and 8. I also I don't really remember. I played 4 or 5 at one point. I don't really remember anything about them, and I didn't play the other one.
4 and 5 are actually really good.
I've heard good things about them. But I think 9 and 10 are very great. I think they're fantastic games.
Yeah, I do.
I think 10 is worth mentioning in the same breath as some of the best in the series.
If I don't really like 7. 7 feels way too weird. And also the sprites are huge. It's kind of a turn off how big the sprites are. 8 is really fantastic. And I wish, you know, I kind of wish they would have done more with that kind of that aesthetic, because I really liked it. But 2 and 3 for me, 4 a close second. 2 and 3 are tied. 4 is a close second. 5 and 6 and 1, not as much. But I would say that, 9 and 10, probably third place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, definitely great games.
Well, it's definitely, 10 is definitely a fantastic game. And Zach, are you still writing up the review for us?
Well, yeah, I just have to play easy mode and a little bit of Proto Man.
All right.
And I actually kind of want to hold off on the review until I get the DLC.
Yeah, go for that. Yeah. But, let's talk about the DLC for a little bit, and then we'll get into the Wily stages. But the DLC, it's adding bass. Which
he
I don't really
so
know.
Good.
I think
so
the difference
cool
is the differences with him is that he has a multi-directional shot,
and it's like a triple shot, isn't it?
Okay,
it's
I'm not really sure.
Button. Yeah,
like I think I'm definitely gonna pick that up just because like I became a rabid Mega Man fan in the new year, and I was extremely excited for 10, and I'm still playing it. Like I played it to smithereens over the weekend, and before the show today, I was rocking through the Robot Masters again.
Nice. What's the origin of Bass exactly? Was he first
Bass,
in 7?
Yeah, he was first in 7. Bass is kind of the Mega Man version of Zero.
Okay.
Yes. He was created by Wily as an anti-Mega Man, but he eventually kind of turns against Wily.
Rock and roll.
And he's a little more... He's a little more like, you know, Zero and Mega Man work together, but Bass is kind of like, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's got a dog named Treble.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and actually
Is he playable in 7?
No, he's playable in Mega Man and Bass, which is kind of a...
it's like a spin-off.
I remember that was originally 4, but I know it's on Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, and then, what do I want to say? Oh, he has a really awesome, like... A hyper form in Mega Man 8, where you remember in Mega Man 6 how Mega Man had like a rush adapter that turned him into a super suit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bass has that in Mega Man 8 with his dog, and it makes him go all like Shuriken.
Oh yeah.
Or or Super Saiyan is what I want to say. He goes all crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the other DLC, they're adding those the three levels with the Robot Masters. I believe that's all coming out in early April.
Yeah.
$2
a pop. So that should be,
I think, something along those lines.
Yeah.
I think the stages were $1 a pop. Actually.
Oh, it's base. It's $2.
Yes.
Yeah. The whole package will cost you, I think, $8.
And then I think there's going to be an endless mode.
Yeah, which they had in Mega Man 9.
Which right. I don't care about. But,
yeah.
Are there online leaderboards for that kind of thing?
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, there are for the actual game.
Okay, that even on Wii? Because that might be worth it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Okay, then let's go on. Let's talk about the Wily stages. I know, Andy, you're only on the second one.
Yeah.
But I know before we started recording this, we were talking about how in the first Wily stage they have, the archive bosses,
mm-hmm.
which are really cool. They have, it's three different rooms as you go through the level, each with three Robot Masters from earlier Mega Man games. So in the first one, you have
order.
Gemini Man, Elec Man, and Wood Man, and I know this was really surprising to me when I first got there. Like, and it didn't really dawn on me at first until I saw, because Gemini Man was the first one that popped up, and he wasn't recognizable at first glance. And then Woodman came out. I was like, "What?
Well, really?" And they don't look like the weapons. Bosses, but there's like a picture of the boss in the background.
Blurry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they come out, and it's just like a diamond orb thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish the diamond orb was a Robot Master, like. Man and Mega Man 3.
Right. But they didn't want to make him full strength because those three guys share, each of the archive bosses share a bar.
Yeah,
they each have a third of the bar.
Right.
Yep. And they're really cool, and they have ones from, one through nine. Like, you'll even see Tornado Man from Mega Man 9, who he's not even that retro.
Yeah.
He's from 2 years ago.
And Flash Man and Slash Man from, Frost Man and Slash Man from 8 and 7.
Yeah. Well, and Flight Man, Ring Man, and who's from 4?
I think online somewhere there's a fan-made 8-bit version of Mega Man 7.
Wow, cool.
Really?
That I need to check out. I think Johnny turned me on to that a while back.
But anyway, the Wily stages, I mean, that first one's really cool. And, I mean, that's the one that was long. What?
Yeah, it is pretty long.
It's a little too long, but I think the level's really, really good.
Once I figured out the weakness of the archive Robot Masters, I was able to breeze through it pretty quick.
Do they have weaknesses to your specific
It's one weakness. They're not brought over from the previous games, clearly, because those weapons aren't there.
Right.
But, there is one weakness amongst all of them, and
yep,
you gotta find it. You find it once, and you're good for the entire stage.
Huh.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, and I got to the second of the Wily stages, and I think
mean. Like, I don't. There's conveyor belts. It sucks. So much death.
It
in
has
that
conveyor
level.
Belts, and then the little jumpy dude, and the bombs flying up out of the ground.
Yeah, it basically combines all the little problems that you run into in other parts of the game and puts them into one. And is that also the stage where they have the underwater seesaw thing from Blade Man? The underwater one with the shrimp bots coming at you, and there's spikes and there's a bottomless pit, and it just sucks. There's one point where you have to jump from one seesaw to another one while going through a narrow gap where there's spikes on each side, and you're underwater, so you jump all high. Ugh.
That's how Mega Man works, sir.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's the thing, is a lot of this game is it's hard, and you're like, you frickin' game, but it's Mega Man, and it's a lot of fun. And, I mean, I really enjoy this, and I think that the final Wily level is also, I mean, it's more of a, it allows you an area to kind of farm if you really want to. Yeah.
And they needed that. I really needed that after
same here.
The second Wily fight, because I was on my last E-Tank. I was half dead. I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. This blows. I came all this way.
Yep.
So if you lose all of your lives and you have to save and quit, when I go back to my game, am I going to have to go back to the first stage again?
Yes.
Yes, unfortunately.
Now, they used – actually, Andy, it's interesting you bring that up, because in Mega Man 1 through 8, well, actually, 7 and 8 had save features, but in 1 through 6, you had a password for every stage of Wily's Castle.
Right.
And they dumped that for 9, and that, I still haven't beaten 9. That's my secret shame, but Wily's third form beat me, and I just have not had the...
Well, you can continue on the current stage.
Sure, but you don't have any E-tanks or anything, because you can't shop.
You can't shop between...
Yeah.
I don't think you can shop.
I don't know. It's weird. Because there was one time where I went to the shop and was able to go back, and there was another time where I think it's if you go back to the stage select, then you're out.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If you ever have to select the stage from the menu again, you're going back to stage 1. But as long as you stick to the continue screen, even if you shop between continues, as long as you don't go back from the continue screen, you'll be all right.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's how I understand that.
It's still frustrating. I really wish you could just save at a Wily stage.
I do intend to beat Mega Man.
You know, for the virtual console games, you can just do a, you know,
save.
You can save and quit. But because it's a WiiWare game, you don't have that luxury, which you know, it kind of sucks.
I was a little disappointed with the Wily Castle bosses in this game. They seemed a little easy.
Yeah, I can definitely say that. I thought the pirate ship was really cool, though.
Yeah, that was good. I liked the giant enemy crab.
Yeah, and the giant enemy crab
but
also
he was,
humorous.
He was really easy.
Yeah, like that was definitely a pretty simple boss. Well, not simple. I mean, it's still hard, but it's very easy to figure out, and it's very easy to dodge the attacks. And even I would say the final Wily boss, which is him and a copycat and flying saucers.
That was pretty easy.
I don't even think. Yeah, it's really not too hard, and it's a pretty cool, finale.
And I'm not going to say anything about the ending, but compared to other Mega Man endings, this one was just over like that.
Yeah.
And it didn't really have a final, I mean, it had a final scene, but it was like, oh my gosh, I have to get back to Earth, the end.
Yep.
It kind of sucked.
But, I mean, as far as Mega Man 10 as a whole, I know. Have you guys played as Proto Man at all?
Not yet.
Very, very briefly.
Does he play like he does in Mega Man 9? Because I have played him in 9.
Yeah, pretty much exactly as he is in Mega Man 9. I mean, he can slide, he's the charge shot, he has the shield.
I wish you could switch between them whenever you want. Like
That would be really cool, actually. But, I mean, I understand going through one in a game. That's fine with me. But I actually played Proto Man in easy mode because I, you know, killed 2 birds at 1 stone and tried it out.
Oh, that's what I'll do, and
So I pretty much just rocked through the game, and it was a lot of fun. And easy mode, I mean, for what it's worth, yes, it's a lot easier. Yes, like, after every boss fight, there's a full recharge that not only refills your health, but refills every weapon.
Wow.
These are, like, littered all over. And actually, it was kind of humorous when you beat all the Robot Masters and, like, the boss rush at the end right before the final Wily. There's actually, like, after you do all that, then, like, you just are basically, like, swimming in E-tanks, like, a mystery tank in the room. Like, it's just hysterical. I think when I got to the end, I had, the 9 lives. I had, like, I think 7 energy tanks, 8 weapon tanks, a mystery tank.
Mega tank.
Or mega tank. I didn't realize it was Mega Tank. I always thought it was a mystery tank. But like I was loaded and I didn't really need it. It was all pretty easy. But I mean, it's just easy mode, I think, is actually a really great addition for the series. I think that it adds a lot and that it kind of removes that layer of difficulty from almost that unattainable difficulty.
Well, that's sort of like it kind of reminds me of what I heard from the forums this week. I just learned just this week that I never beat Mega Man 2. I thought I did, but apparently I never did because apparently there's an easy mode in Mega Man 2 and it's called normal.
Yes.
The difficult mode is the one that was supposed to be the real game and they changed it for North America. I never knew that. So like the entire time I was thinking, man, Mega Man 2 is way easier compared to Mega Man 9. Well, of course it is if you don't play it on the real mode. So. Yeah, like, I need to go back through and actually go beat Mega Man 2 now.
Yeah. But Mega Man 2 isn't, like, that easy mode or the normal mode in that isn't quite as ridiculous as the easy mode in Mega Man 10. Because, like, basically, like, for example, if you go to the part where, the seesaw part, Like, yeah. Pretty much when you go to a bottomless pit or there's spikes there, like, there's always a little platform there. And the interesting thing is that the enemies can't go on these platforms, and you also can't, like, you know, rush coil on those platforms, which is kind of interesting in that it's almost like they're invisible except for Mega Man or Proto Man. And, I mean, all the robot masters are different. Like, for instance, like, Blade Man only shoots out two blades. Pump Man... Nitro Man only shoots out one wheel.
Oh, yeah, Blade Man. I thought for a second you said Metal Man. I was like, well, he's from Mega Man 2.
And what was I going to say? And Pump Man, like, his water shield only has – he has four balls around him. And some of the mini-bosses are nerfed, too. Like, for example, the soccer goalie or whatever the hell he is in Strike Man stage. Basically what happens is a hand, like, just one of the fists comes down and falls. No soccer ball, no one on the other side, no weird way out comes out. And I mean, the game is a lot less challenging. There's less enemies, different enemy placement, and that's really interesting. Like, it's not like they just, you know, made it more difficult for you to be hit. It's like they really changed the game in easy mode, and it's almost like, I mean, it's all friggin' cakewalk, or at least for, you know, people that are used to Mega Man games. But it's interesting to see.
I'm excited to try it.
Yeah.
One of the things that surprised me about Proto Man was that he had his charge, because I never played him in Mega Man 9. When he had his charge and his slide, I thought to myself, "Well, crap! Why can't Mega Man get that?" It's not like that was a late addition that only happened on like the PS2 Mega Man games.
Mega Man forgot how to do it after Mega Man 8.
Yeah, wasn't it 3 where he had the slide and 4 where he had the charge shot? Like, come on, bring that back already, because I would like to be able to do that as regular Mega Man, please. And that's why
you can play as Proto Man.
Well, also, I think, Andy, you bring up a good point, because we were saying that Mega Man 9 is trying to emulate the first, you know, 2 through 4, where, you know, those additions to the game weren't quite as critical for Mega Man. But in Mega Man 5, 4, 5, and 6, which Mega Man 10 is trying to emulate, yeah, he's got those abilities, and they build the gameplay around that.
Yeah, I would really like to see the next if they do another one of these, and they probably will. I want to see his charge and his slide come back. It's time.
Well, let's talk about that. Where would we like to see Mega Man games go from here?
Well, but before we go there,
okay.
I have one last thing about Proto Man, and that when you guys do play it, watch the dialogue scenes. There's a line at the end that Proto Man says that just made me lol. It was says to Dr. Wily at the end. I won't spoil the exact circumstances, but it's just like Proto Man just there, and Mega Man's like, you know, all his dialogue's always like, "Well, Dr. Wily, you're bad, but maybe you're not really bad." Proto Man, like at the end of it all, like after you beat Dr. Wily, he's just like, "And that's what you might call poetic justice." And it's just like the most outrageous badass line ever, and it's.
That was a
The dialogue for Proto Man is humorous, especially in contrast to Mega Man.
I loved it in this game where Dr. Wily crashes and Mega Man's like, "We gotta help him," and then you know, he turns out to be the bad guy, of course, and Mega Man's like, "I never saw that coming."
Yeah. It's like the fact that Wily is the final boss is not a spoiler in any Mega Man game.
No.
Even if they try to make it seem like he's good.
In
half of the games.
That doctor is Wily.
Yes.
An evil doctor.
What is he a doctor of? Evil. But, yeah, okay, so let's move on. Where do we see the series going, or where do we want the series to go?
I would like them to stop with the original series and take Johnny's suggestion and do more SNES Mega Man X games.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool to have. I don't know, how far did they get up to Mega Man X8? X8
is on the PS2, and I've heard it's good.
I think it would be really cool to see them do a retro, like, Mega Man X9 in the style of the Mega Man, like the original Mega Man X, or at least a couple ones after that.
Yeah, I mean, I like the retro NES style games, and I want to see more things like that. But I think if we get a Mega Man sequel 11. Every year, it's going to get... Like the next one will be the last one that I care about.
Like, and honestly, they're running out of Robot Master designs.
To be completely honest, I would like to see a world where it's like next year we get Mega Man X9, next year and the year after that Mega Man 11.
Yeah,
I would be fine, because in all honesty, like the Mega Man X games, I picked up Mega Man X Anniversary Collection, and I was playing through a couple of those, and I played the original Mega Man X. I had it for Super Nintendo, and I liked those games, but there's just something about the NES Mega Man games that I just vastly prefer.
Yeah, me too.
And I'd much rather see more of those than like a lot more Mega Man X games. And I would like to see them try something like what they're doing with the NES Mega Man games or the 8-bit Mega Man games. But I don't want to see the 8-bit Mega Man games like end with Mega Man 10. I would really love to see more additions in the franchise. And I hope that this one sells well enough that they will go farther with these kind of Mega Man games.
Maybe they could make official 8-bit versions of 7 and 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great.
But, I don't know. Does anyone else have anything else they want to say?
Go buy Mega Man 10.
Yeah, Mega Man 10 is fantastic. And I guess to close it up, I'll mention that I've been planning with a couple of my friends that I'm going to do a Mega Man Marathon, 8-bit Mega Man Marathon for charity, probably in May. I think probably May 21st, 22nd, somewhere around there. Still working on the plans for it. But we're going to, get better equipment than I've had in the past. I know I did the Captain Rainbow, like, marathon thing for Pixelbit when I was there. And I know we've also done other things, other marathons at NWR in the past. There was a Metroid Prime Trilogy marathon, and there was a Zelda marathon that Nick and Chessa did back when they were here. I'm going balls out for this. It's going to be charity, probably for Child's Play. And,
awesome.
And we're gonna have capture cards, so that way we can display the feed for the game right online. We'll have you can call in on Skype. You can talk to us, you know, over AIM or some kind of chat system, probably IRC. I don't know yet. It's gonna be really, really cool. And I'm gonna probably be playing tons of Mega Man games going up to it. I'm actually in the process of I'm going to order one of the Retro Zone adapters where I plug it into the GameCube and then I can like hook up a Super Nintendo controller.
Oh, nice.
Supposedly that works very well because really the kind of D-pad that I want is either like the literal NES Wii like the Wii remote. I'm fine with that D-pad, or the classic controller, not the GameCube one, and I don't feel like busting out my old PS2for it. So I think I'm going to pick up the Anniversary Collection, which I haven't gotten.
Before you get too overboard ordering special equipment, Neil, I have a Hori SNES pad if you're interested in borrowing it.
Oh, yeah.
The GameCube that has the D-pad like the SNES?
Yeah, I was actually looking for that, but that they are retardedly expensive now.
Yeah, I have one of those. If you'd like to borrow it for the marathon, you are more than welcome to do it.
That would be fantastic, I guess. We will talk at another time.
Excellent.
All right. But, it's going to be really great, and I'm sure there will be mentions of this on Newscast and NWR as it gets closer, but I figured I'd mention that, especially since, you know, this is the Mega Man 10 game club, and this game will be played through it, and I'm still up in the air of if we're going to do 7.
Do 7.
Or even 8, for that matter. I it really depends. Because really...
7's easy. 7's really
Are both
easy.
7 and 8 on Super NES, or is one of them on PS2?
Yeah.
8 was on PS1.
PS1. I think all eight of them are in the Anniversary Collection.
They
right?
are, yeah.
Okay.
And
right,
just
okay.
for fun, Excellent. Neil, you should toss in Power Fighters.
I probably will.
Hell yeah. And I can make the following promise. Whenever I'm chatting with you on whatever you're going to be chatting on, I will not be wearing pants.
Oh, we'll have to advertise that. We'll really get the ladies to donate.
Hell yeah.
If you donate more money, Zach Miller will take off more clothes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I have a webcam on the netbook.
Oh, God. No.
There are problems. But anyway, and we will finish up this episode of Game Club on the NWR Newscast by saying that our next Game Club will be happening in about a week and a half. Cave Story comes out on March 22nd.
All right.
And we will be playing that. This will probably be 2 weeks like Blaster Master.
Long
because
Cave Story.
Yes, Cave Story will be coming out on March 22nd. We'll be recording a show on that Wednesday, so we'll have our first impressions there, and then we'll probably have the episode after that. We'll have another segment about, you know, our final thoughts on the game. And
we should get Johnny on because he's been itching, chomping at the bit about this game for a year.
If there's anybody from the NWR staff that would like to, you know, join us in one of these Game Club games, I'm basically I might not even mention this via email, like get to this point in the show. And then if like you're like, ah, oh, I would love to talk about Cave Story, shoot us an email at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com.
That's right. Because we,
if we don't get any emails,
you know
I
where to
cry.
Find us.
Yeah. But no, really, I mean, I'm totally up for, now that we're going to have this as at the end of the credits, if anyone just wants to hop on for Game Club, we can always we'll always accommodate you.
We can figure something out.
Yeah, but Cave Story is up next. So when that comes up, if you want to join us, go ahead and play it. If
after
not,
Cave Story, we'll probably be taking a little bit of
yes,
a Game Club.
Because
right
really, here. It was just kind of how everything worked out. Because Blaster Master Overdrive, I think we knew that Mega Man 10 and Cave Story were coming out in March, we probably wouldn't have done Blaster Master Overdrive. And we've kind of been nonstop with Game Club. And I think it's more of a special occasion thing. It's just that there's been so many damn good games on WiiWare.
Yeah.
And there's even a lot of games like Max and the Magic Marker and stuff like that we're skipping over. But I don't know. I have a feeling the Bitrip Runner will probably be out by the time we're done with Cave Story. But we might do. We might not do a Game Club on that, but we'll see.
Alrighty, all right. Well.
Well, that's it.
That'll wrap it up.
That's the show. Talk to you later, guys.
Adios.
Adios.
Bye.
I won't tell you that I love you. Kiss and hug you. I ain't bluffing. It's my muffin. I ain't lying. I'm just stunning with my love, Lou Gunnin'.